February 12th, 2023, A Prescription for Sound Mental Health, Part 2, Philippians 4, 4 through 9.
Good morning. I'm reading from Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Keep putting into practice all that you learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you.
Okay, thank you, Angie. As we said, you know, last week, mental health is certainly a hot topic today, and I did quote a few statistics that are kind of disturbing about what's happening here in the United States. But as we look to God's Word, and that's what we're looking at here, is what I call the prescription for sound mental health. But as I say, the title was a little bit getting too long, so it should say for maintaining sound mental health. And this message is for the Christian, isn't it? It's what Paul was writing to. And as we look at those verses, we do find that, in fact, they are about how we think, what we think about, how we act, and how we are to maintain a good mental health. And, of course, from that outflows a good spiritual health as well. So there's a lot of prescriptions for the world today, you know, to cure mental health, supposedly. But as we said last week also, I think for folks in that category, a great beginning, of course, is to know the Word of God and to come to know Jesus as their Lord. So, okay, this letter was written by Paul, and again, it was written from his imprisonment in Rome. And in spite of all of the circumstances, I mean, he was under house arrest, could be losing his head, his life, and didn't know the outcome, but yet he could rejoice in spite of it and encourage the congregation there at Philippi to rejoice as well. And the whole attitude that he had became a message for the church around him, and it encouraged them to be bold in their witness, and it even encourage the Praetorian Guard. So that's what we saw last week. So, okay, shall we pray? Father, once again, we do thank you today as we continue to look into your word, Lord God, and your prescription, the prescription that Paul has written, that we might keep our minds sound and clear, that we might be able to have the joy of the Lord within us. And we thank you, Father, for all of these verses today that we read and that have been read, Lord God, that demonstrate to us that we truly can have the joy of the Lord in our life as we maintain a good attitude and a good mind and heart towards you. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so, but anyway, so we saw last week then that prescription. We begin with verse 4. With rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, Paul likes to repeat, again I say rejoice. We used to sing that song, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. And of course that means to have that pleasurable satisfaction, the experience of the pleasurable satisfaction within us, a state of happiness and well-being. And we quoted from, again, like I say, I'm not great on the Message Bible, but there was a great way to write that verse. Celebrate God all day, every day, I mean revel in Him. Now, obviously, we know we can't be walking around, you know, constantly all day. We're at work and whatever we're doing and raising our hands and all of that. But certainly, we can always have in the back of our mind, and every time there is that moment that we have that freedom where our minds may wander, that we truly can rejoice in the Lord. It's always good to know some of the hymns. It's good to know some of the Psalms, you know, and the verses of the Psalms, that we can use those. So rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 5 says, when we rejoice also, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will flow from our spirit. And that is, of course, that gentleness that is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 then tells us, be anxious for nothing. And that's kind of where we left off last week. We were into that a bit. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. Don't worry. Don't have anxiety. Because that is a state of mind that is a direct enemy of rejoicing, isn't it? You allow worry, you allow anxiety to fester in our minds, how are you going to ever be able to rejoice in the Lord? So the fruit of worry, which of course is an affliction it is a mental distress. And that fruit then results in anxiety, which is an abnormal and an overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological problems. You see people having heart problems, heart conditions, all of these kinds of things. Now, again, I'm saying our recipe here, though, our prescription is for the Christian, isn't it? And we're not immune. Certainly, we're not immune to worry and sometimes anxiety, but we have the answer to it. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, instructed us, of course, not to worry. We saw that last week from that Sermon on the Mount. Peter, in his first letter, also instructed us to cast our anxiety on him. Holman Christian Standard Lexham Bible says, throw your cares on Jesus. Put them on him. Again, easier said than done, isn't it? So I would recommend, as this kind of thing comes upon us, anxieties, worries, open your Bible. Turn to Philippians here. Start with that verse, rejoice in the Lord. I said last week that rejoicing in the Lord is the answer, you might say, for maintaining sound mental health. But it is worry, anxiety, that most often keeps us from rejoicing, isn't it? That's what prevents it. So Paul is happy to give us the answer, the antidote. And that's where we kind of left off last week for worry and anxiety, that we might be able to do away with that and thus begin once again rejoicing in the Lord. So that's in verse 6 also. So let's read the verse again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the answer, the antidote, you might say, for anxiety is prayer and thanksgiving. In the Amplified, it says, in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. By in everything, in every circumstance in life is what he's saying. And I think Paul has in mind here, not just everything, but especially those things that cause us worry and concern, resulting in anxiety. I think that is the point he is trying to make here. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, as the Amplified says, in every circumstance. But he's thinking in particular, in the context of these verses, those things that are going to cause us worry, and there are those things that are going to cause us anxiety. We need to be able to maintain, then, a state of prayerfulness, to be prepared to bring before the Lord a matter at any time and on a moment's notice. I mean, we're used to perhaps praying at night, praying in the morning and those things, but boy, there are times when you need it right now. And I gave a good example of that a while back, and it's in the book of Nehemiah. I want to just point this out once again. It's in the book of Nehemiah. You remember the Israelites had been allowed to return to Jerusalem. But Nehemiah, who is a cupbearer to the king, it turns out that he gets word back from Jerusalem, you know, that the walls are still down. The fortresses have not been rebuilt. And so Nehemiah goes to the Lord in prayer and repentance and all of this sort of stuff. And he is very saddened by it. And so he's praying over a period of 3 or 4 months concerning it. And now the cupbearer is not necessarily called every day to the king's side. So one day he is called to the king. And we find that in the second chapter of Nehemiah. And what happens? He comes to the king, and it turns out his face is sad. And the king says to him, "This is nothing more than sadness. What's wrong with you?" Well, as it turns out, that you come before the king, and you're in a position like that, a cupbearer, and you come with a sullen face, you might actually get your head lopped off. And so what does it say as we read that? "The king said to me, 'Why is your face and why sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart.'" The guy really perceived it, didn't he? He hit the nail on the head. He must have known this guy, Nehemiah, know what kind of a character he was. So the king was not angered, but he recognized immediately something is wrong here. And so he says, "I said to the king," this is verse 3, "let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Verse 4, "Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?' So I prayed to the king," or "I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, 'If it please the king.'" But notice this, he says, "I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever.' I was very much afraid," in verse 2, "to bring this need before him." He was concerned about it. But he spilled his heart and he told him, and then the king says, "What would you request?" And then what does it say? "So I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the king." In that instant of time, he was prepared ahead of time. He was prepared in prayer to bring it to the king, but yet he still had that fear when the king said to him, "What's wrong? What's happening here?" And the king asked him, "What do you want me to do?" And so we find that instantly, in a matter of seconds, as he approached the king, he prayed by prayer and in supplication. It says, in every circumstance, and he was prepared at the spur of the moment to be able to bring that prayer to the Lord. He was prayed up. We note here, though, it says by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Well, it sounds almost like the same thing, doesn't it? Oftentimes when we pray, that's what we're praying. We're asking God to do things, something for us. That, of course, is supplication. But two different things, by prayer and supplication. If you look at the word that is used there in the Greek, it means primarily prayer addressed to God, denoting a petitioner's attitude of mind as worshipful. In other words, we come to God first with thanksgiving, with worship, and with praise to Him. And then the next thing we do is then bring our supplications to Him, which is what? An expression of need. So the first of these, prayer then, seems to be praise and worship of God directed toward Him. And again, that's always a good thing to know scriptures and to know Psalms and to know some of these things. We can use them in our prayers as we praise Him and worship Him, while then we bring before Him our needs, our supplications, our petitions, our intercessions. There's a parallelism in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul uses this same formula in his letter to the Ephesians. Philippians 4:6 that we read, in everything by prayer and supplication. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 18, he says, Ephesians 4:6 is in everything. Ephesians 6:8 or Philippians 4:6 is in everything. Ephesians 6:18, in all times. At all times, in everything, at all times. Philippians, prayer. Ephesians 6:18, he says, with all prayer, or if you happen to have an NIV, I believe it says in all kinds of prayer. And then supplication in Philippians, Ephesians 6:18, petition. So we are to bring our prayers and our petitions before Him. And He points this out in both letters. So that's kind of the formula. Now, all prayer, though, as we see in that verse, is to be accompanied by what? Thanksgiving as well. Notice this. I'm going to turn to John for a moment, the 6th chapter of John. John 6 and verse 41. Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, and He is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, as you well know. Verse 41, told them to roll away the stone. It says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that You sent Me. Notice what He says. Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I know that You always hear Me. I thank You. So He begins His prayer with prayer of thanksgiving, knowing that God always hears him. So that's John's. John 11:41. Verse 7 then tells us, as we cast off, let's read the verse again. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think about that a moment as Paul is sitting there in the prison, and he's writing off his letters, and he's talking to the guards, and he's doing all of this. And those guards know, I mean, this is a bad situation for this fellow, but yet he could rejoice. He seems to even be happy where he's at. And so he says, the peace of God, they couldn't even understand that, I'm sure. And the word of that went out, it says, to all of the guard. And it also encouraged all of those others in Rome, who perhaps the Christians who were under perhaps some of the same gun, you might say, as Paul himself. It encouraged them as well. So, and the peace of God, which people just cannot understand, it'll guard your hearts and your minds. So the peace of God. Note this too, when it seems to take place, you got to read the verse kind of together, 6 and 7. It says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and don't stop there, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. Notice this. We break up these things in verses, but it is actually kind of a continuation. It is a continuation. And the peace of God, it will then take place. When? When we bring our prayers, our supplications, our petitions with thanksgiving before Him, then the peace of God can settle on us. It would seem that we have peace and are anxious for nothing because we know that when we have made our requests known to God, we have placed them in the hands of the one who will know exactly how to respond. We can rest in the knowledge that God is in control of all situations. We can rest. So, prayer, worship and praise, supplication, bring the need, thanksgiving, and then comes the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's interesting, too, in what it says. Notice this again, the words, that it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word that is used there, guard, it is phroeho in the Greek. It's used only four times in the New Testament. And it means, it's a verb. It is to apply as a military guard with power. So we see it, for example, in the book of Acts, when King Aretas guarded this around Damascus so that Paul, to prevent Paul from escaping, as we know he did, let down in a basket, that sort of a thing. But the word that is used there, he had set up a guard around the city. So it was a military guard. Paul, in Galatians, he said, he was kept, when they were kept in custody, the word custody there is that word, phroneo, under the law, before faith, you see, came before faith. So before faith came, we were kept under guard, like a military guard, under the law. 1 Peter 1:5 talks about, or he writes that, we are guarded, by the power of God through faith. We are guarded. It's like a military guard around us. And the word implies actively too. It's not just like a guard, like a gate or something set up around you to protect you. It is a active guard. We might say again, like a military guard surrounding us. God's peace then, we could say, is like an armed sentry. And it says, watching over us, guarding our hearts and our minds. What are we talking about? Our heart, of course, is that part that we often speak about. It's that seat of life, often the combination of the soul and spirit, where he guards our mind as well, which is our perception, our intellect, our thinking process as well. So again, that's what is part of this prescription, to guard our hearts and our minds. Amplified Bible says, God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 then is a final, you might say, ingredient in the prescription for maintaining sound mental health. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, do this. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We're to occupy our minds only with those things that are uplifting. Now, again, this is not to say to some kind of a Pollyanna that our minds are closed to the entire world around us and what's happening. That's not possible, of course. One cannot help today to see, to hear, and to take those things, to see those things that are in opposition to that which is right, that which is pure, and so on. But even those things can be beneficial if they lead us and provide the basis for our prayers and oftentimes even for action. In verse 8, Paul's meaning is clear, that these are the things we are, though, to dwell on. And as we pray, as we sit, as we meditate on God's word, as we meditate on those things in our life, we have to train our minds to be thinking, to be Christ-centered in our thinking and not self-centered. Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." That word steadfast in the Hebrew, somach, means to support oneself, to lean on. We're to lean on Christ. So Isaiah 26:3 in the New King James says it this way: "You will keep him, you will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on you because we trust in you." There's so much that is wonderful. There is so much of beauty for our minds to dwell on, whether it be events in our life, whether it be the creation around us, whether it be revealed to us in the Word of God. All of those things that he says are right, are truthful, honorable, all of those things, there's much. And not everything is necessarily Christ-centered, but it displays God's creative work. So we see those things. And so divine providence in our life. Think back. Sometimes people like to talk about coincidences, right? But isn't it, when we think back, perhaps divine providence, something for our minds to be dwelling on. So, as I said, Christians certainly are not immune to anxiety, to worry, to a state of mind. But when it's harbored, it truly is an enemy and a destroyer of faith. It keeps us from enjoying, from rejoicing, if you will, in the great God in our life. But as Paul makes clear in these verses, from his letter to the Philippians, that we can and we will maintain a healthy mind if we follow that prescription that he has outlined for us. He concludes in verse 9, "Practice these things." Let's read that verse again. "The things you have learned," you've learned from Paul, you've learned from others, you learned in Bible study, you've learned through the Word of God. "The things you have received, you've taken them into your heart to understand them, to know them, to put them into practice. The things you have heard," even the music we hear, huh? The hymns, the songs, all of those. As we take those things, we practice them, he says, and we put them into our life, then the God of peace will be with us, guarding our hearts and our minds. Thank you, Father God, today as we have concluded this brief section, this brief word from the book of the letters of Paul to the Philippians. Such an important thing for us to know, to understand that our minds can be healthy and clear and maintained, that we may rejoice in the Lord always. that we may rejoice in all things, that we may be anxious for nothing, and bring our needs, our prayers, and our supplications before you, the Lord, that you may guard our hearts and our minds with that peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, with thankfulness, amen.